Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com. I used to be your heart beating for someone, but the times have changed. The less I say, the more my work gets done.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati now joined by our good friend Jeff Kerr from CBSSports.com. Jeff, I feel like we made this happen. We've been talking to you all season long, and you are a Philadelphia man. We, of course, here in Kansas City, love our Chiefs, and now they will be facing off in the final game of the year. How excited are you?
You know, Steve, I think we willed into existence, didn't we? Like, it was going to be an Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl, and I keep joking in Philadelphia, I'm like, you guys know the Eagles are playing the Eagles, right? I mean, essentially everybody from Kansas City is your coached or played or had a front office spot in Philadelphia. At least that's what it feels like.
So let's talk about what this game means for let's say, the legacy of Andy Reid, right? If Andy Reid, and it's interesting, someone tweeted at me, and I do find this interesting, you know, because you talk about, you know, who's done better, who's been better off without each other. If the Eagles win, they have two Super Bowl championships since parting ways with Andy. If Andy wins, he has two Super Bowl titles since leaving Philadelphia and coming to the Chiefs. Either way, it's been successful for both Andy Reid and the Eagles, but one would certainly have the leg up if they get a win on Sunday.
You know, it's weird, right? Because Andy Reid was so good in Philadelphia. He won 58% of his games there and won 10 postseason games. He actually has more postseason wins with the Chiefs than he does with the Eagles, which is insane to think about. Like, Andy Reid's legacy is already secure based on what he's done with two franchises. He's won 72% of his games with the Chiefs, and that's just going to keep going up as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of this football team. So they're set there. I still think Andy Reid's going to get, whether he wins this game or not, he's going to get another Super Bowl title with Kansas City. Might get a couple of them. I think his legacy can only grow by this. If he loses this game, he's still a top 10 coach all time. It's okay, he's won 3 Super Bowls, big deal, you know. He's just going to climb up the wins list. The guy I think needs to win more in terms of his own legacy is Patrick Mahomes, because of his passer rating in Super Bowls, and he hasn't been as good in Super Bowls as he has in every other postseason game. And Patrick Mahomes is a clutch quarterback, there's no doubt about that, but 2-1 looks a lot better than 1-2 when you're trying to compare someone or when you call him the baby goat.
You know, what I find interesting about that, Jeff, is we measure results more than we do performances when we're talking about this stuff, right? Because I actually believe that the most amazing performance I've ever seen from Patrick Mahomes was the Super Bowl they lost to the Bucks. Like,
I would agree.
He was incredible in that game, and he had everything going against him, including his receivers dropping passes that hit him in the face mask. But I think what you said is probably what the average person who even follows the NFL, their narrative is, well, he hasn't played great. Look at, because his numbers probably weren't great in that game, you know. But so people will judge him based on what the result is and not necessarily the performance.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of get tired of hearing, oh, Patrick Mahomes did this, everybody would go crazy. I'm like, well, yeah, because Patrick Mahomes does a lot of crazy things you don't see. You know, it's, and again, this is by far the best offensive line Patrick Mahomes has had in any of these Super Bowls. It's just a shame that he's probably going up against one of the best pass rushers in NFL history, and he's got a high ankle sprain on top of it. Like, if the Chiefs lose this game, you lost to a really good football team in the Eagles. The only people who seem to not agree that the Eagles are a good football team are Julian Love and Brandon Ayuk, who got their butts whooped by said football team. It's, you're not going to hear that out of the Chiefs this week. The Chiefs are all business. They're a really good football team in and of themselves. I've been saying all the year, I thought the Chiefs were underestimated compared to the Bills, compared to the Bengals, compared to the whoever else you wanted to throw out there. It's like everybody just kind of dismissed Kansas City because they got rid of Tyreek Hill. And, you know, you guys know, I've been saying all year, well, they're deeper at wide receiver, and they're better on the offensive line, and the pass rush is coming along. It's honestly, if the Chiefs lose this game, it ain't going to be because of Patrick Mahomes. I'm pretty sure we're all clear on that.
Okay, so let's talk some of the about some of the matchups from your perspective, from an Eagles perspective. Tell me about some matchups that Philadelphia feels like are very favorable towards them. And I'm going to guess that you'll mention one of them you tweeted out about, Andrew Wiley having to match up quite a bit against Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, that one's crazy, right? So Andrew Wiley, and look, I knew he was the weak link on the Chiefs offensive line, but 9 sacks of 42 pressures, and you're going up against a guy who has 13 sacks in the last 10 games since Linval Joseph and the Ndamukong Suh's been there, is already insane. Hassan Reddick is 19 and a half sacks. He's just been a one-man wrecking crew in the postseason for the Eagles. And, you know, I heard Chiefs fans say to me, well, we got the Jets to stop. I'm like, I understand that, but the 49ers also tried something like that too. It didn't work. And I know Jerick McKinnon's a lot better pass blocker than anybody the 49ers have, but you really want to take Jerick McKinnon out of the passing game, a passing game that relies so much on running backs and tight ends to set up the wide receivers because you're trying to stop Hassan Reddick? That just seems like a recipe for not moving the ball as consistently.
Yeah, so my answer to that is I don't know what the right approach is, but Andy Reid probably does. Because we always hear the numbers about how good he is on a bye week when he has extra time to prepare. And it sounds like the Chiefs already have their entire game plan installed. Does that, in your mind, give the Chiefs – is that a point in favor of the Chiefs, Andy Reid, with an extra week to get ready?
Well, it's funny. I got right about the coaching matchup, right, between Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni. And I'll tell you what, I don't think I've seen two coaches prepare – the way Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni do. Like, Nick Sirianni's like that, too. The Eagles already had their game plan set. They're ready to go. It's just fine-tuning everything, making sure everything's right. And I think it's going to be a real chess match between Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Nick Sirianni, Shane Steichen. I mean, really, I think the difference is, can the Eagles – I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to pressure the heck out of Jalen Hurts on Sunday. I really do. Jalen Hurts isn't that great against pressure this year. He's, like, middle of the pack, but he's great in everything else. It's, can Jalen Hurts beat the pressure, beat the blitz, and can the Eagles get those one-on-one matchups with Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown, which with the Chiefs cornerbacks, which, by the way, they've been able to do that all year just because of the multi-dimensions of their offense. I always tell people this, it's, we're in phase 5 of the MCU now. The Eagles are like a multiverse on offense. They just do so much in so many different ways that you have to contain Jalen Hurts, and no one's been able to do that this year. So I think Spagnuolo's going to bring the heat. I think Gannon's just going to rush his four guys and say, you know what, let's go at it. I'll be honest, as good as both offensive lines are, we may see a lot of sacks in this game.
What is the bigger concern in this game, Jalen Hurts' shoulder or Patrick Mahomes' ankle?
Oh, man. I feel like this is the million-dollar question, right? So I keep – everything I hear is Jalen Hurts' shoulder isn't as bad as people make it out to be. But then you hear the same thing about Patrick Mahomes' high ankle sprain. So which one is it? To me, I think it's the Eagles got to get Patrick Mahomes to make plays that aren't designed outside the pocket. Like, he was 6-for-6 outside the pocket in the AFC Championship game. But most of them, in my mind, were designed. So what happens when you force Patrick Mahomes to his left and he kind of has to move a little bit more on that ankle and creep? You know, create some pressure on it. How's it going to be? How's it going to last for four quarters against the pass rush that just continues to go after? I think that's the bigger concern for me, but we'll find out if Jalen Hurts' shoulder is okay. Like, the minute he either connects with A.J. Brown on a deep ball or misses A.J. Brown on a deep ball. That's when we'll know. Like, in the NFC Championship game wasn't a big deal because the Eagles were up by so much, but Hurts and A.J. Brown wide open for a touchdown and just missed him. And you did not see that out of Jalen Hurts all year. So that's something to monitor.
One of the things we've been talking about since going back to last week, too, is that unique, I guess it's unique's probably an overstatement, unusual offense by NFL standards that you'll see from the Eagles, in that they use that zone read concept where the quarterback is very much a part of the running game like you see in college. And I'm curious, like, have you seen some certain teams in the NFL that have had success slowing that down for the Eagles? And if so, is there a common theme, something that the Chiefs need to take from those teams that might have had success with it?
So really the only team that's had, I guess, a great deal of success with it this year against the Eagles, I mean, with Jalen Hurts is in, no one really. So it's sad, right? Like, you point at the Eagles' three losses, where two of them were when Gardner Minshew was in a quarterback. Like, they were up to 10 points when Minshew was in there against the Saints, and the Saints' defense thought they were world beaters, and everybody in the Eagles' locker room's like, you know, okay, Jalen Hurts didn't play. Like, you know, it makes a difference. So really the only team that was able to kind of slow down the Eagles offensively was Washington, and what they did was, so they ran the ball 49 times against the Eagles, which is the most against the Eagles in any game since 2004. They had 12 first downs against the Eagles, which was the most the Eagles have ever given up since they started tracking first downs, and so that was since 1991. And they held the ball for 40 minutes against the Eagles, which hasn't been done against the Eagles since 2015. So, I mean, if that's what it takes to beat Philadelphia, then I don't think I want to use that strategy. It's just funny to me how I keep hearing, well, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback the Eagles have faced all year. Well, duh, he's the best quarterback anybody's faced all year. But I'm that guy who said, well, the Eagles' pass rush is, they're just a different animal than what Cincinnati's bringing. Buffalo didn't have a pass rush, so let's just be honest. It's going to be such a chess match that I feel like we're going to get a high-scoring game as a result.
But is there something to the idea that, okay, when they did face what you would call an elite quarterback, you know, Aaron Rodgers put up 33 points, Dak Prescott, I don't think he's an elite quarterback, but they put up 40, and they did not face an elite quarterback in the playoffs, and that the Chiefs are a little more battle-tested, having gone through Cincinnati in the championship game, and also having played in the Super Bowl before and maybe played the better competition in the AFC. Do you buy into that, or do you resist that notion?
So when people mentioned to me Aaron Rodgers, I said, well, okay, the Eagles pass rush also got Aaron Rodgers to quit that game. So he just basically just left. He's like, yeah, I'm injured, I'm done. Oh, I'm back. I'm back a week later. You know, I had to make my spiel. I mean, the Eagles bullied him that game. And the Dak Prescott game, they got to him seven times, too. Dak Prescott even made a mistake in that game. It's the Eagles just made the bigger mistake and make a Dak Prescott convert a 3rd and 30. I still think if Jalen Hurts plays that game against the Cowboys, the Eagles win. But you are right, though. Like, you have to look at the quality of quarterbacks the Eagles have played. It's more than fair. Like, as much as people want to say how red-hot Daniel Jones was going into that playoff game, he's still stunk. He's Daniel Jones. That's not Patrick Mahomes. That's, you know, the 49ers situation, I had to hear about how great Brock Purdy was all week, and then the Eagles knock him out six offensive plays in because they have a really good pass rush. So I think the pass rush can counter Mahomes, but it's clear as day. Patrick Mahomes has been the best quarterback the Eagles have faced since Patrick Mahomes, and we saw what he did to them in week four of the 2021 season in Philadelphia. But again, much, much, much different Eagles defense than what they have now.
Okay, put me in the mind of an Eagles fan. What is your biggest fear about this game?
Eagles fans will never admit, but they don't want to lose to Andy Reid. They really don't. It's one of those, oh, you know, Andy Reid, you people think he's so good. Like, Andy Reid's the reason why Eagles fans are as spoiled as they are, honestly. The Eagles were a joke of a franchise before Andy Reid showed up. In terms of narratives and everything, they really don't want to lose to Andy Reid. Eagles fans always want to be right about Andy Reid, saying he's not a winner, he's not this, he's not that, which they're dead wrong on. They've always been dead wrong on, and that's where I always question their football acumen when they question Andy Reid. So, Alpha, but in terms of the actual game, I think they're afraid Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are just going to tear them apart. I think that's what everybody's like trying to deny and saying, oh, the high ankle sprain. I'm like, you guys do know this guy's like a more cerebral quarterback. He gets rid of the ball quick and everything like that. That's not the same Patrick Mahomes from 4 or 5 years ago. And Travis Kelce, like, I keep trying to tell Eagle fans this. You can't get mad when Travis Kelce gets eight catches off you. He's going to get eight catches regardless. That's just how he is.
I think it's a little interesting you said that about Andy Reid. I assumed that once the Eagles went and won that Super Bowl post-Andy Reid, maybe he became more like the, you know, the beloved character back in Philadelphia as opposed to the guy that they used to rip on. Is that not the case? Did they not change their attitude once they went out and got that Super Bowl?
I think a lot of them do like Andy Reid. It's just that vocal minority. You know, the vocal minority always kind of sticks out, right? And I just kind of shake my head at it. Like, dude, what did this guy do? Like, all he did was win games for you. He's the reason why they won NFC Championship. Honestly, the vinegar role has shifted toward Donovan. They can't stand Donovan McNabb. It's for whatever reason, you know. I guess they hate winning football in Philadelphia. I don't know. But it's you do have that vocal minority that just thinks Andy Reid's a loser and he's never won games and he's never did this. And he didn't give us our Super Bowl and blah, blah, blah. But ever since the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I know a lot of Eagles fans that really wanted the Chiefs to win to get Andy Reid that title. Now it's, you know, can you imagine if the Eagles and Chiefs didn't have a championship right now and it was Reid versus the Eagles? I think this would be an unbearable hell week for both franchises.
You know, we spend so much time talking about offense and defense, but the Chiefs at the end of that game against Cincinnati, and this goes against what we expected because the special teams have struggled this year. Special teams helped win the game with a 29-yard punt return and then the clutch field goal by Harrison Butker. Tell me about the Eagles' special teams.
Well, we used to joke that Eagles man used to joke they have the worst special teams in the league. I'm like, have you ever seen Dave Towns Jr. in Kansas City? They're somehow worse. And the Eagles' special teams have been significantly better since they made a couple moves on their team. Like, there's a guy named Christian Ellis. He has brother plays in the NFL, by the way. He got promoted up from the practice squad in November, and he had a really good game. You know, it was against the Titans, and he's been on special teams unit ever since. Britton Covey, we call him the greatest fair catcher in the world. I mean, when you see the guy, you won't believe he's an NFL player. He's like 5'8", 160 pounds, but he does his job. He's been having some pretty decent returns in the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, not that the Eagles special teams are good, but they're significantly better than what they were, say, I want to say about maybe in November. Like, it's guys like Christian Ellis. It's like an under-the-radar move where he got promoted from the practice squad, and now all of a sudden, like, he's an important cog in their Super Bowl run. It's kind of like the Chiefs. It's like, wait a minute, the Chiefs had a 29-yard return on special teams? Like, they were, like, the worst punt-returning team in the league this year, as far as I remember.
How about the kicking game?
Jake Elliott's never missed a kick in the postseason.
You just jinxed him, Jeff.
You just jinxed him
for Philadelphia, baby.
Well, I will say this. He's never missed a field goal in the postseason. He did miss a... If you guys remember, he missed an extra point in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That was a weird game. That's still one of the weirdest Eagles games I've ever seen. Like, Stephen Gostkowski misses, like, a 20-yard kick because the snap goes on. I think that's what I said in my head. I'm like, oh, my God, the Eagles might win the Super Bowl. Like, this stuff never happens to this franchise, ever.
All right, so, and again, if you want to follow Jeff, it's Jeff Kerr CBS is his handle on Twitter, and plenty of excellent facts and figures and numbers and stats. Before I get your final prediction, tell me what you'll be doing to provide coverage of this gigantic Super Bowl all week long.
Well, I'll be at both practices. Again, I tell people all the time, I watch the Chiefs just as much as I watch the Eagles. So when people try to question some Chiefs knowledge, at least in the Andy Reid era, I can counter back. So, yeah, it'll be nice to see, like, interview Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and those guys. I'll be talking to them, obviously. My big story is the Kelce brought Super Bowl. I actually joke. I think I've actually interviewed Travis more one-on-one than I've interviewed Jason. And I've been covering Jason for years. So, it's going to be a fun time. I'll be at both practices. I'll be covering the game. It's going to be a blast. I honestly can't wait. So, I'll have tons of articles out for CBS Sports. I'll be on Radio Row a lot for the whole week. It's going to be a blast.
So how is this going to play out? What's your official score prediction for Super Bowl 57?
I just keep going back to the Son Reddick versus Andrew Wiley, and I think Wiley's going to allow Reddick to go late, and he's going to make the game-changing sack or turnover, and Eagles will win by one score. It's, you know, it's funny. If the Chiefs are playing any other team, I probably would pick Kansas City. I got to be honest. I'll say this, though. I won't be surprised if Kansas City wins. But the Eagles have just been – you know, like, when you hear the 99 Rams and, like, the – I know the 07 Patriots lost, but they were historically good. The 09 Saints. The Eagles kind of feel like that team. Like, they were so good just for 1 year. And I just keep going back to what Tony Romo told me last week when we were chatting up about these teams. You need a whole offseason to kind of stop this Eagles offense, and you need to play them multiple times. And there was a team that played them multiple times. They didn't even come close to stopping them. So he said he didn't make a prediction here, but I told him why I picked, and he goes, I could see it. He goes, they're the favorites for a reason.
And what's that score again?
I picked the Eagles 30-27.
30-27.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, though. You guys know my favorite Chiefs stat. If they hold the team to 27 points or fewer, they're 55-3 in the Mahomes era.
My God. Let's see, I picked...
That's amazing.
I picked the Chiefs 31-27. So.
Again, the Chiefs strategy is simple. I love to make football simple. Just hold them to under 27 and you win.
What is it again? 55-3? Is that what you said?
55-3 in the Mahomes era when holding a team to 27 points or fewer.
I'd feel better about my 31-27 prediction now. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. At Jeff Kerr CBS is his handle, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah, sounds great. I'll talk to you guys. I'm sure I'll be reaching out to some guys on Border Patrol on Radio Row this week.
Yeah, just let us know. Let us know if we can help you out, man. Thank you. That's Jeff Kerr. Ooh, I think he jinxed Jake Elliott.
Yep.
So.
As soon as he misses that kick,
yep.
We'll all say, thank you, Jeff Kerr.
As soon as he misses that fourth quarter kick, you remember how the Border Patrol helped you out.
Yep.
Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. Adam, what's up? Good morning. How are you?
Good, Stephen. How are you guys doing today?
Doing very well. Let's get to it. It's game week. Time to talk about the Chiefs and the Eagles in Super Bowl 57. I guess the number one, we really don't know. We can just kind of pick and choose what we hear from Andy Reid and his press conferences and some of the language and everything else, but the injury situation. Clearly, Mecole Hardman's not expected to play, but to me, at least, when it was talked about last week, it seemed pretty positive about the other guys, L'Jarius Sneed and Willie Gay, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Kadarius Toney. Is there any one of those guys in particular you might be more worried about, or do you feel like they all have a good chance to play?
Yeah, I feel like there's a chance for all of them. I think Juju is kind of the guy that I'm wondering about the most. I think the other guys will be okay. But, you know, he was really hobbling after the game. You know, now he was out of practice last week back in Kansas City, and, you know, that's a good sign. Usually if the injured guy's at practice, he's not far off. And everybody except Hardman was out there. Juju was out there. Toney was out there. Sneed was out there, even though they weren't practicing. So, to me, that's an indication that the Chiefs are at least hopeful that they can be ready to go on Sunday. So, we'll see. But I think all of them at least have a chance, for sure.
So, that's obviously very good news. Also, maybe good news would be the fact that this is a situation that the Chiefs are a little bit familiar with. Three Super Bowls in the last 4 years. Of course, the last one they played in, Adam, was different because it was during the pandemic. They didn't go down to the Super Bowl till a couple days before the game, like a normal road trip. Yep. But in general, getting ready for this Super Bowl, how different is it for the Chiefs? How much of an advantage is it for them that they've been in this situation a couple times already in the past 4 years?
Yeah, they know the drill. I mean, but, you know, Nate, I think it helps the coaches tremendously. But I was watching Super Bowl 54 the other day, you know, the win over the 49ers. And it just struck me how everybody out there, except for a handful of guys, is not playing for the Chiefs anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of guys are new to this. You know, it's a first time for a majority of guys on the Chiefs roster. So I don't know that there's going to be a huge advantage from a player standpoint. Certainly the key guys from the Chiefs are familiar with this. But, you know, the coaches should be. I mean, that's maybe where the big advantage is. But other than that, there's just not a lot of guys who have gone through this. You know, there were some who came the next year when they went to Tampa. But as you say, Nate, that was the COVID Super Bowl, and the Chiefs went down on Saturday like they normally would for a road game. So there was no week, there was no preparation, there was no practice. On somebody else's practice field, that kind of thing. You know, they did it all back in Kansas City. So it's going to be new for a lot of guys, no doubt.
Okay, Adam, the two biggest reasons clearly why I like the Chiefs in this game are Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. But, you know, I've been trying to think of reasons why I like the Chiefs besides that. And Nate forces me to rely on boxing references sometimes and analogies, and I think about undefeated or you know, great young contenders that maybe haven't had the best level of opposition, and then when they get into a title fight, they're not quite ready for what they get, and the seasoned champion that's had a better level of opposition, that's gone through the fire, ends up beating them. And I felt all along like whoever was going to get through this gauntlet between the Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs, whoever's going to emerge, I was going to pick them to win the Super Bowl. So if Cincinnati would have won, I was going to pick them to beat the Eagles. And you look at the Eagles, they can only play who's in front of them, but Daniel Jones and Josh Johnson, that ain't it, man. That's being very, I don't want to say lucky, but I guess that's good fortune. Those are the quarterbacks he had to face in the playoffs. And they didn't, I mean, you just look at the regular season and the quarterbacks that they played. How much do you put into that the Chiefs played the better competition, played the better teams, come from the better conference, they're more experienced, have been there, done that, and they had to get through Cincinnati, where Philadelphia, to be honest, really hasn't been tested yet.
So what you're saying is if you think if they get the teams out to the 50-yard line, put on boxing gloves.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are going to knock them out.
Yeah,
that's your.
I think they could. They'll stop them late. They'll stop them maybe in the 11th or 12th rounds. I just the Chiefs beat Joe Burrow to get here. The Eagles, the Eagles haven't seen anything like Patrick Mahomes and this team. I just think there's a benefit there for what the Chiefs have had to go through to get here, as opposed to what the Eagles have had to go through.
No, I agree, and you know, the Eagles were impressive in their two games. Well, they should have been in the playoffs, and they should have been. You know, they played a vastly overachieving Giants team, and then a team went down basically to its four-string quarterback, and then, you know, Bosa went out and Warner went out. I mean, it was not a tough road, but. And, you know, the Chiefs had the tougher road in the playoffs, particularly considering their injuries. But that doesn't I can't tell you that's going to make a difference on Sunday.
Damn it,
you
know? Adam. Tell me it's going to make a difference. Lie to me. Lie to me, Adam.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're looking for stuff here that doesn't exist. I mean, I think the thing that, you know, have a bigger – I'm looking for the Chiefs' offensive line on Sunday, and whether this is where the Chiefs need to come up big in this game with a quarterback that is probably not going to be 100%, maybe some injured receivers. You know, that to me is a group that needs to step up big, and guys like Creed Humphrey and Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney need to have a big game. I mean, this is you know, the Eagles not only led the league in sacks by a wide margin, but I saw a stat. They got almost all their stat, three-quarters of their sacks without blitzing. You know, they had like 60 or so sacks without blitzing, and that's an amazing stat. So, you know, those guys are going to have to play big, and I think that matters more than what happened leading to the road leading to this. I mean, you know, the Eagles didn't play a great schedule either, but they you know, they during the regular season, but they played some pretty good teams, you know, Cowboys a couple times and stuff like that. So there's some quality teams, at least during the season. So it's not like they were playing that kind of competition all year long. So I just feel like when the game starts, that's not really going to be a factor.
You know, Adam, I feel like Stephen putting that boxing analogy stuff on me was a little bit of a low blow.
That's right.
All right.
I'm smoking on a Joe Burrow.
But to carry the analogy forward a little bit, though, in my rudimentary understanding of boxing that I've learned from Stephen, he'll tell me a lot about how important the corner is in the fight preparation. You know, you put together a game plan. You're going to be fighting somebody you haven't seen before. And sometimes you come up with a game plan that's a little bit different than the way that you normally box, because you're going to throw something different at this guy that he's been preparing for 2 months for one type of fighter, and you're showing something different. Andy Reid's well known for putting together game plans when he's on a bye week. How important is that game plan, especially when it comes to neutralizing the pass rush of the Eagles? You just talked about how big this is for the Chiefs' offensive line. How much can Andy Reid help those guys with whatever game plan he's put together these past 2 weeks?
No, I think that's a huge advantage. You know, we know how good he is out of a bye, but he's got all these experience in these kind of games. And don't overlook Steve Spagnuolo. You know, he's got a bunch of Super Bowl experience, and you know, he was not just with the Chiefs. I mean, he was part of that Giants staff, as we remember that hooked up that big upset against the Patriots, the 18-0 Patriots. So,
yeah.
You know, I always go back, Nate, to that side of the ball. To me, that's where the game is going to be won or lost for the Chiefs, is how much the Chiefs can get done defensively. You know, can they do the things against the Bengals that they are against the Eagles that they did against the Bengals? Can they get pressure on the quarterback? In this case, Jalen Hurts. Can they get some turnovers? I kind of look at two as maybe a baseline there. If Chiefs can come up with a couple takeaways and a couple possessions that way, that's huge. And then when, as they did against the Bengals, when the Eagles get in the red zone, they can kick field goals. The Chiefs did that 2 out of 3 times. You know, to me, that's a recipe for winning the game. And I think the Chiefs will be okay offensively. They'll do enough to win the game. It's the other side of the ball that I just don't know about. So, I do feel like having these kinds of coaches, certainly the experienced ones, can make a difference in a game like this, no doubt.
So I want to ask you about Nick Bolton, because I don't know. Maybe the past 3 or 4 weeks, he hasn't played as well as he did, I thought, in the first half of the season. And he is an undersized linebacker, and he throws himself into so many plays and has made so many tackles. I almost wonder if he's worn down at all, and maybe this bye week could be good for him. But and then Willie Gay is at least somewhat damaged with that shoulder, and I just feel like the way that the Eagles run the football and Jalen Hurts and the read option, boy, those linebackers are so important. And the Chiefs did invest a couple of second-round picks in upgrading the youth and athleticism of their linebackers. And that's one of the biggest differences, like you talked about, from that Super Bowl win over San Francisco. How up to the task are Nick Bolton and Willie Gay, and how important are they in this game?
Yeah, and they invested a third-round pick this year, right?
Yep.
In Leo Chenault. So, yeah, it is a big deal. And, you know, those guys need to play well. I mean, I'll just go back to what I said earlier. I think, you know, and they're a big part of it, certainly, Willie Gay and Nick Bolton. Chiefs have to get some things done on defense, you know. I can see the Eagles running the ball all day on the Chiefs until they make them stop. I really can. Unlike Andy Reid, I think Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen will be patient with the running game and stay with it. You know, the Chiefs, I never predict they're going to do that. That's just not Andy Reid's way, but the Eagles will. And so that has to be job one for the Chiefs. So, yeah, those guys have to come up big and play well. And we'll see if they're up to it. I feel like they probably are, but you're right. I mean, Nick Bolton, it's been he played more than just about any linebacker or any front seven defender in the league this season. Now he's got two more games to pile onto that. So the Chiefs have asked a lot of him, and you know, maybe that's something they need to look at next year in terms of you know, giving him a break every now and then during some games. But can't give him a break on Sunday. I mean, he needs to play well.
And hey, that extra week, again, I mean, it just seems like if there's one team that benefits more from that extra week with the injuries you started off this segment talking about and guys like Nick Bolton, that's advantage more to the Chiefs there than the Eagles in terms of who needs it the most right now?
I think so. I think that's fair to say. And not just the injuries, but the Chiefs came off two somewhat stressful games. I mean, the Jacksonville game never wasn't really in doubt, but there was all the Mahomes stuff going on during that game. And so there was that, and there was the Mahomes stress during the AFC Championship week, and then you know, it certainly came down to the end in the game against Cincinnati, whereas the Eagles kind of went on vacation in the second half, you know, of each of their games. They really weren't stressed at all. So, yeah, I do think it's a big thing for the Chiefs to be able to reset both physically and emotionally, mentally, and all that. I think it's. They certainly benefit more from that than the Eagles do.
Well, I'm asking everyone this this week before the game, so we'll know how we felt going into this. All right, which injury do you think will have a bigger impact on the game Sunday? Mahomes' ankle or Jalen Hurts' shoulder?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I just feel like Mahomes will be able to do a lot of what he does. Maybe not, again, not all the full package, the full Mahomes, you know, the crazy plays that we've seen and the outside the pocket stuff. But I feel like he's pretty good from inside the pocket as well. So, I mean, he certainly played that way against Cincinnati for the most part. So I think he'll be okay. I don't know as much about Jalen Hurts' situation, but I think Mahomes will be in a good place. So I'm going to say that Mahomes will be closer to what we know him as than Jalen Hurts will.
That's the correct answer, Adam. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You nailed it. Okay, so you're right. And this is, look, this game could very well come down to the wire. Do you now have how greatly has your confidence improved in the special teams now that we saw Sky Moore with that punt return and Harrison Butker nail that kick?
I think it's certainly helped them win the game, the special teams last week. But you know, do it again. I mean, I want to see it more than one week in a row. You know, and I think Butker's problems maybe seem to be solved now. Whatever was going on there seems to be over. So that part is okay. I'm wondering about the return game for the Chiefs. You know, will they use Tony if he plays, or will he play? You know, there's some uncertainty there. You can't go back to Mecole Hardman now. You know, certainly it looks like Justin Watson will be ready to go. The Chiefs could do that, but I don't. Hey, that was a great. Nice play and a nice time by Sky Moore, but I don't think it took the, you know, that wasn't the greatest punt return in NFL history. I mean, the guy, the Cincinnati punter out kicked his coverage, and there was nobody near him when he caught that ball, so he wasn't stressed at all. And so, you know, I'm not sure I'm there on Sky Moore right now, although he'll have a place in Chiefs lure just for that one play alone, but I'm not 100% sold that that's the right thing to do if the Chiefs go that way in this game. So I'd feel better if they put Tony back there. Let's put it that way.
Both teams have a 16-3 overall record. Both teams have scored 546 points. Both teams have six All-Pros on their squad. And obviously they're both number one seeds. Adam, Marco is waiting patiently with his DraftKings Sportsbook app open right now. Please give us your official prediction for Super Bowl 57.
Well, my advice is to Marco not to listen to me because
Marco?
I was wrong last
nope.
week. So there you go. But I just feel like the Eagles present so many problems for the Chiefs, and it's going to be a load for them to to handle all of these things. I'm not sure this is a great matchup for the Chiefs, but I feel like if they can, again, going back to what the Chiefs did defensively, if they can get done what they got done last week against, or 2 weeks ago now against Cincinnati, I think they'll win the game. But I'm not going to predict that, so I'll go with the Eagles maybe 34-30, something like that.
Adam, we hope you're wrong again. That's all I can tell you.
So now Marco knows where to put his money.
Yes.
Marco, what's the over-under on this thing?
I haven't looked. Be honest with you, I put in my Chiefs Super Bowl slip back in July.
You back off now.
So
he has some issues, Adam. We apologize. Adam, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys.
50.5.
If yes, it's the over. Thank you. That's Adam Teichner. We're getting a lot of overs so far, I could tell you that. And I'd like to mention that Adam's appearance on the Border Patrol brought to you by Amini's. You want it, Amini's has it. Everything for your home, area rugs, pool table, shuffleboard, golden tee golf, and pinball for under $100 a month. Outdoor fire tables, too, 105th and Metcalf, or check him out online at aminis.com. Marco, could I please request some romantic music, if at all possible? Maybe Boys to Men, maybe something beautiful, something wonderful. I don't care what it is, just something that... Ooh. Very good, Marco! Hey, guys. This Valentine's Day, give her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all, with soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sexy, sultry, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin. Leave nothing to the imagination with naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all. Order today and save 25% if you use code NUDE, N-U-D-E. Oh, I'm starting to sweat in here. That's a 25% savings on a best-selling Valentine's Day gift. Pajamagram will even wrap the whole gift up for free. That's right, 25% off naturally new pajamas and free gift packaging. If you missed out on this offer during Christmas, don't make the same mistake twice. Give her naturally nude pajamas. But you got to order today, because last year they sold out before Valentine's Day. So here's what you do. Go to pajamagram.com right now. That's pajamagram.com. Use code NUDE, N-U-D-E, and save 25% off your order of naturally nude pajamas at pajamagram.com. And be sure to tell them SSJ sent you.